God's grace is enough. The way it is expressed here, it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." How many times have you thought that if it weren't for such and such, you could do so much more? If it weren't for the aches and the pains that I'm experiencing, I could do so much more. If it weren't for my age, I could do so much more. If it weren't for, and then you could name a person, I could do so much more. I look back over my life and I think of a sport that I loved a lot. It was football in high school. I think I might have been on the third string. If there was a fourth string, I would have been on it. That's because I was about 6'2" and weighed about 137 pounds. So here's this little skinny rail out there. And I often thought, you know, if I had only weighed more, if I'd only weighed 250 pounds like my son Jesse, you know. But that's what not what God had for me. But we tend to look back over and say, if only. And, you know, you may be thinking of things that you're going through right now that you would say, if only, fill in the blank, I would do such and such. I could be so much more for the Lord. Did you pick up what Paul was saying here? I mean, he had this infirmity. He had this, he calls this a thorn in the flesh. And it was so unbearable, such a trial, that three times he prayed and asked God to remove it. And instead of removing it, he got this answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You may count it a great trial or a misfortune to possess a physical or even a spiritual ailment. And the suffering that you go through may be heightened or even lessened depending on your attitude, your reaction to that ailment. All of us have some kind of an irritation, some thorn in the flesh. That which we wish we could rid ourselves of. And so I want you to make application this morning. What is your thorn in the flesh? Your thorn may be a physical handicap. Your thorn in the flesh may be a constant temptation or the difficult circumstances that you find yourself in today. But I want us to see in this passage that, yes, the thorn is painful, but that you can have power over it. And that lastly, you really need to realize just how priceless that thorn is. You say, what? How priceless a thorn is? Yes. We see in this passage Paul's example on how to deal with a thorn in the flesh. Let's look first of all at verse 7. I want you to see the pain of this thorn. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, I want you to notice that in the preceding verses that we read, verses 1 through 6, Paul is talking about some kind of an experience. He doesn't even know whether it was in the body or out of the body. But somehow he was caught up to the third heaven. That's the highest heaven. He was caught up to paradise and he heard things which are not lawful to be uttered. You know what? When you hear something that's really interesting, what's one of the things you want to do? You want to go tell people. And in fact, we often tell things to people, Facebook, because we're trying to brag, we're trying to show off. They ought to call it narcissistic book in some cases. Because it's really a show-off type thing, and this is what Paul could have done. But God took care of that. He was given this special revelation. I mean, he had tremendous privilege. Think about if you had the inside scoop with some kind of a powerful politician and you knew something. Doesn't it just kind of burn back here that you want to tell somebody what you know? And it becomes a source of pride regarding what you know and you don't. Nah. I know something you don't. Look at the producer of the pain. What is it? It's a thorn. It's a splinter. Have you ever gotten a splinter? You can keep working with a splinter, but the joy and the efficiency is dampened by the irritation of that splinter. I mean, it just drives you crazy. You can work and sometimes forget about it, and all of a sudden you touch something and zing, you feel the pain shoot up your arm or up your leg if it's in your foot. It's a constant reminder as pain signals are going to your brain. But the real producer we see here, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, but what is this thorn in the flesh called? It is called the angel. Literally, messenger is angel. It is the angel of Satan. Satan's got this messenger. But notice, it was allowed by God because it says it was given to me. Well, who gave it to me? It implies that God did him a favor. Have you ever stopped to think that sometimes your physical ailments or mental ailments, sometimes that may actually be a blessing in disguise? It's disguised because you certainly don't think of a splinter as being a blessing. But it's what God has given you. He has given you. Yes, it is Satan, perhaps the messenger of Satan to buffet you, but it was given to you. God did you a favor. So the producer of the pain is the thorn. Look at the place of the pain, a thorn in the flesh. Now, if this was a physical thing, it was disabling to Paul. It's just one page over in my Bible to Galatians chapter 4. But my Bible is very small, so it may just be one or two or three pages in your Bible. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Look at verses 13 to 15. This is one of the places where Paul mentions something about what's happening in his flesh that some think that this may be what he's referring to here in 2 Corinthians 12. So, Galatians chapter 4, and look at verse 13. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Some think this is a reference to the ophthalmia that Paul was experiencing, something with his eyes. By the way, remember what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? He was blinded. He was healed of it. But there may have been something with his eyes to the point of nearly being blind. Some point out Acts 23:5 where he has this inability to recognize the high priest. Some point to the fact that he would use a secretary called an amanuensis to write his epistles. For example, I read Romans 16:22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle. Well, now, who wrote the epistle to the Romans? It was Paul. But he used an amanuensis, a secretary, Tertius. In Galatians 6:11, he ends the book by saying this, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." So some think Paul had some kind of a difficulty with his eyes. And maybe that's what he's referring to here, where we ask the Lord three times, "Lord, this is a thorn in my flesh. I could do so much better for you if you would get rid of this." But we don't know that that's what it was. I've thought before that this might have been some great temptation he's always wrestling with. That's a thorn in the flesh. For some, it might be migraine headaches. Boy, that's a thorn in the flesh. Some, it's epilepsy. Some may have a speech disability. Some may have a bodily twitch. For the Apostle Paul, it could have been some kind of indignities he suffered from false apostles. For some of us, it may be age, it may be size, it may be a disability, a physical disability, it may be a chronic pain, it might be a disease. Sometimes the thorn takes the form of other people. You find someone to be a thorn in the flesh. But we're not told what it is. And I think here's the reason. So all of us can make application. And not say, well, that was eyes. This doesn't apply to me because that had to do with his eyes. We don't know. And so you can put your name in here and you can put the thorn in the flesh in or whatever it is that ails you. That you would like to get rid of, that you may be using as an excuse for why you're not serving God more. If only, fill in the blank, wasn't present, wow, I could be so much more effective for God. Well, have you ever stopped to think that God wants to use the painful thing, the ailment, for His glory somehow? The place of the pain was in the flesh. Look at the persistency of the pain. Because he says there in verse 7, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now that word buffet is in the present tense, which means it is constantly happening. It is constantly, literally, striking me with the fist. That's the word. The word buffet. Striking me with the fist. It just keeps happening. It's happening. It's like somebody just standing there just punching you out and hitting you again. You turn around, they hit you in the kidneys. You turn around, they hit you in the face. Turn to the side, they hit you in the shoulder. It's just constantly happening. That's what the Apostle Paul is experiencing here. It's the same word used in Matthew 26:67 when they spit in Jesus' face and buffeted him. So the thorn is a distraction. We say that I could certainly serve the Lord better without. But I want you to see the persistency of the pain. But then I want you to see the purpose of the pain. Twice it is said in this verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that at the beginning of the verse and he says it at the end of the verse. You see, we are tempted to lift up ourselves above our brethren when we have the privilege of a Christian experience that they may not have. G. Campbell Morgan once said, there are some who seem eager to talk of visions and revelations which they have had. The question is as to whether such eagerness is not a proof that the visions and revelations are not of the Lord. In other words, if you're so eager to talk about your visions and revelations, that's just evidence it's not of God. They are too solemn, too overwhelming, too to be lightly described or discussed, but the effect of them will be apparent in all life and service. The point is this, folks, God sometimes orders spiritual burdens to cure spiritual pride. That may be the purpose of the thorn that you have. That you might get a little cocky, that I might get a little proud. Well, there are several ways to deal with the thorn. You can become, number one, bitter and blame God for robbing you of freedom and pleasure. Or number two, you can just give up. Or number three, grit your teeth and put on a brave front. Or number four, you could pray about it. Well, that's a novel idea, isn't it? You could pray about it. And that brings us to the second point, power over the thorn. Look at verses 8 and 9, power over the thorn. You'll see in verse 8, Paul's desire for the thorn. What was Paul's desire concerning this thorn in the flesh? That it might what? Get rid of it. So he asks God three times, please let this thorn in the flesh depart from me. Now this is not a selfish request because we are commanded, folks, to bring our burdens to the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Three times he asks this. Now I'm not a numerologist. There are some people who go to the Bible, they find a number and they've got to find all kinds of proofs in the Bible for what this number means. But I think this number here is significant. Let's look at the threes that we know about in the Bible. There's morning, noon, and night. Probably the three times that Daniel prayed every day. There's three. God called Samuel how many times? By the way, you can't be wrong if you just say three every time, okay? Christ was tempted how many times? Peter denied Jesus Christ how many times? The sheet appeared to Peter three times before it was taken back up into heaven. Leah bare, I'll answer this one, three sons to Jacob and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me," because Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish how many days? Christ's body in the tomb how many days? Christ had how many innermost disciples? And the Trinity is, the number three suggests completeness. The number three suggests finality. Paul prayed three times just as Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. Keep praying, folks, until God answers. But there comes a point where we surrender our desire. I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. We surrender our desire and consider His design. So Paul's desire for the thorn, what is it might depart from him? But secondly, the thorn's design for Paul. What did God have designed for the Apostle Paul? You'll see in verse 9 that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But I want you to go to the first part of verse 9 because it says, "And he said unto me." He said is in the perfect tense. I know you're not interested in tenses, but this really expresses something. Which literally could be read, "And he had said unto me." Which expresses this, that the consolation of God's answer continues from the point that Paul was asking, and God keeps with his answer. God had said and continues to say to me, "Paul, my grace is sufficient. Paul, my grace is sufficient. Paul, my grace is sufficient." The thorn is not taken away, but it's overcome by the power of God's grace. "My grace is sufficient for thee." By the way, notice it doesn't say my grace can be sufficient for you if you'll simply pray for my grace. It says my grace is. Folks, we don't need to ask for grace. We need to realize or acknowledge the grace that God has already given. Somebody once said that the word grace stands for this: God's riches available at Christ's expense. God does not give to the Apostle Paul an explanation. He gives him a promise. He doesn't say to Paul, "Okay, here's why this is happening." He simply gives him a promise. Somebody said, "We do not live on explanations, we live on promises." If you have this morning what could be referred to as a thorn in the flesh, and you have prayed for its removal, and yet God has not seen fit for it to be taken away, His promise is this: you have the grace to bear it as a child of God. Be content. It's the same word for sufficient here. Be content with His grace then, not with your groan. That answer will prove to be greater than if God removed the thorn. You know what? I gave you the illustration of my playing football in high school. Football may have led me away from the Lord. I heard a sermon once by a man who said that the biggest handicap any girl can have is to be extremely beautiful. Why? Because that can be the very thing that leads her away from God. We do not know how God answered Paul, but we do know how he answers us. When we are afflicted, we are assured that God will speak to us through his word. Sometimes there are some things worse than sickness and affliction. It's sin. A pastor once said that the healthy person who is rebelling against God is in worse shape than the suffering person who is submitting to God and enjoying God's grace. This thorn, folks, was designed by Satan as a hindrance, but it is redesigned by God as a help. You see, there's the thorn's design for Paul. It's power. I want you to see, lastly, under the power of the thorn, Paul's displacement of the thorn. Notice how he displaces this thorn. You know, you've got this thorn, you've got this irritation. Here's what he does. He ceases to request and begins to rejoice. That's the hard part. And there are one of two ways to deal with God's answer about a thorn. You can become bitter, or you can become, as some people say, better. The Apostle Paul literally glories in his weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. That word infirmities is the word weakness, or literally illness or incapacity. I am going to glory in the things that I can't do. I remember my grandfather, when he was in his 80s, was constantly talking about, I just can't do this anymore. He couldn't lift his arm. He could lift his arm about this high. I wish I could raise my arm like I used to be able to do, so I could reach up and get things the way I used to do. It's those weaknesses, those infirmities, the things that really bother us. But folks, Paul would have been worthless to God without the thorn. Do you believe that? Paul could have become worthless to God without this thorn. A man or a woman becomes worthless to God when they are exalted above measure, and then all of a sudden they're so proud you can't talk to them, and they become worthless for the ministry. You too can become worthless to God without your thorn. So you know what? That thorn that is so irritating, that bothers you, the thing that you could wish you could get rid of, may be there for a reason, lest you should be exalted above measure. What was so traumatic to Paul is now cause for pleasure, because it is for Christ's sake, he says in verse 10. And there, Paul makes even further application. He says, therefore, I take, what does he take in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities, in persecutions and in distresses? What is it he takes in those things? He takes pleasure. He takes delight in his infirmities. Let's look at each one of those things that Paul talked about. I love words. I love word studies. He says, first of all, I take delight in infirmities. I take delight, literally, in weaknesses, in sicknesses, and in disease. What is he? What's wrong with this guy? Nothing. This is what's right with him. He takes delight in his infirmities. I take delight, he says, in reproaches. That's mistreatment. That's shame. That's when people insult him. He takes delight in it. For example, Acts 5:41, and they departed from the council rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Same word. They suffered reproach for his name. And the Apostle Paul says, I take delight in that. Have you ever gone door to door, knocking on doors, just talking to people, witnessing to people? And then if you have you ever had a door slammed in your face? Some years ago when we took some teens out, we were at some apartments here in town. I think Barrick was with me. And the first door we knocked on, the guy came to the door and screamed at us. and then slammed the door. And those teens were like, and you know what you want to do after that happens? You don't want to keep doing it. No, you just keep going. And it's not that you're masochistic where you go, oh, this is fun. But you know what? You take delight in the fact that for the sake of His name, you suffer reproach. So He says here, I take delight or I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. And then He says, in necessities. Why? Because I realize that my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So even in my necessities, I take glory in that. And then in persecutions. Relatives don't understand your dedication to Christ. Friends don't understand your salvation in Christ. And they persecute you for it. And then He says, in distresses or difficulties. In the verb form, that word distresses means to crowd or to cramp or to confine, restrict or to crush. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here? He takes delight in all those things that would otherwise for me, for you, or any other believer would probably cause us to quit. Folks, that's how to handle a thorn like this, where you say, for the sake of Christ, I take delight in this. So there's the pricelessness of the thorn. It's delight. And here's the second thing I want you to see about the pricelessness of the thorn in verse 10. It's the word dynamite. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I dynamite. That's the word dunamis, where we get a word dynamite. When I am weak, then through Christ, I am strong. Back in verse 9, He says, it's my strength. In verse 10, I am strong. When we see ourselves as weak and useless, only then are we really worthy vessels for the unlimited power of God to be made manifest in our life. It's as we were reading the promises of God when we were looking for our church loan. And by the way, that can be applied here. How weak were we, folks? What was our infirmity? Plenty of them. There was no way this is going to happen. And so when we couldn't just, you know, when we couldn't just walk up to the bank and say, listen, we need to have a loan. And they would say, well, sure, we'll give you one. Okay, there's nothing powerful there. But when we go from one to the next and they say, you're too small, you're too small, too small. And then at the end, all of a sudden, they're competing to have your business. Who did that? Who did it? God did it. You can't point to anyone here. Even with all the work that Larry went to, you can't even point to what, you know, Larry was so great, although God greatly used him. In our weaknesses, we were strong. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. And that's what God is looking for, not just as a church corporately, but for each one of you individually. He's looking for somebody who says, I am weak. I can't do this. I have these infirmities. I have these illnesses, these sicknesses. I've got these temptations. Lord, I can't do it, but by Your grace, I will. In Your weakness, He shows His strength through you, and who is glorified? Because when you do it yourself, you say, wow, I did that because I'm so strong. No, when I am so weak and can't do it, God is glorified. Because we can't explain it. Folks, it's not that I can say I can do all things. It's that I can say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, no wonder you never read of the Apostle Paul getting depressed or popping pills. In jail, in prison, he writes Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. He writes that from prison. Everyone here this morning has a thorn in the flesh in one way or another. Every one of us do. God may see fit to allow that thorn in the flesh to be the messenger of Satan to buffet you, to constantly punch at you, and it could be for the rest of your life. But what God wants to see is how we respond to that thorn in the flesh. God knows your desire, and it is not wrong to pray for God to remove it. But when that is not removed, are you willing to accept God's design for you? Because your happiness, your usefulness for Christ will come as a result of how you react to God's answer concerning that thorn. If you react as the Apostle Paul did, you will be used of God in a mighty way. And your disappointment will be displaced with rejoicing. Folks, the thorn was the making of Paul. Would you bow your heads? Another word for I take pleasure, I said, was I take delight. Another word for I take pleasure is I enjoy. How do you respond to the thorns? You know, every one of us have them, every one of us. In one way or another, you have a thorn. If you don't have one now, you're going to have one. Paul's was such a big one that he went and took it to the Lord. And you may take it to the Lord, and I would encourage you to do so. But when God does not see fit to remove it, it may be that that thorn has a design for you, contrary to your desire. And that design may be that God would use it to, number one, keep you humble. Number two, to teach you to pray. And number three, to rejoice in infirmities as the world looks on. I wonder if someone here would say, you know what, I've got the thorn. I know of the thorn. I've identified the thorn, or the thorns, plural. And this morning I haven't been responding to the thorn right. Praise God, He's allowed me to see through His Word how I can deal with this thorn scripturally. And by God's grace, I will deal with this thorn in a scriptural manner. God is using this in my life this morning. Anyone like that? Yes. Yes. Many, many hands. Would you pray and just ask the Lord now, may this be used for your glory in my life. I will now rejoice, take delight in my infirmities. Lord, we realize that it is not all about us. It is about you. May our attitudes be right about those things that cause us distress and infirmities. Help us to remember this passage and this message, even throughout this week, as we face things that really get us down, things that are in the flesh, some disease, some pain. Lord, we realize that it is not always your desire that pain be removed, but that in our pain we glorify you, that your name might be magnified in the eyes of this world. Lord, for everyone who has raised their hand, especially acknowledging that there is some thorn and that thorn needs to be dealt with differently, I pray that they would hand that over to you. May you be honored and glorified through us and through your amazing grace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.